Welcome to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Join us on our journey to tokenize the world. Let's roll. Welcome back to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Today we have a special guest. We have Andrew Almeida here from Rise and Shine. He's the managing director, managing partner of the fund. And just on the show today because a recent announcement with Oasis Pro and Avalanche. This specific Avalanche infrastructure fund has been in the works for over a year, and now we can announce it. It was announced earlier this week, and we're one of the first shows to pick this up. So welcome, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
This is amazing. Thank you, Travis. I'm really excited about the conversation and to be a part of the conversation a little more officially now.
Yeah, likewise. I've been chatting with your team for over a month. I had a call, and you've been actively fundraising, and most of this has kind of been a bit in stealth mode over the past year. And as we talked about earlier, you know, fundraising and funds and even a lot of the infrastructure stuff around blockchain wasn't a great year in 2023. That's significantly picked up in 2024, as we know, a lot of wind behind our sails now. So tell me a little bit about yourself, how this got started, yeah. And then we can get into Rise and Shine.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having us. I have a traditional finance background, cut my teeth in, Wall Street per se, working across asset classes, equity, fixed income, even as a multi-asset class portfolio manager, junior PM in my most recent, banking role. Did a lot of consulting out on my own when I started working independently after leaving, the corporate side, and naturally started finding my way into blockchain. So fast forward to how we really birthed the idea for this fund was during this time of crisis, right? Like after FTX exploded, you felt the magnitude of what was going to happen to the industry, right? And I guess for me personally, having I got my Series 7 license in the year, 2008, I think it was January of 08. And the firm I was working at made us get our 6 license first. So I got my Series 6 in like the summer of 07. And then, so if you know that time of year, like the magnitude of like a centralized institution blowing up and fallout, I had already experienced that on the TradFi side and saw what was happening on, in the, let's call it crypto side, and knowing that like, all right, there's going to be opportunity coming out of this, right? Like this thing, and I hadn't gotten into the space too heavily at all. Spent most of my career in traditional finance, passed on Bitcoin, passed on Ethereum, didn't spend the time getting to know the power of decentralized consensus, what that will mean for computing. And among the crypto crisis, crypto winter, I said, what's real here? What can we really look at that might have staying power and I can have something to offer or discuss with the traditional finance community that I know and I've been a part of when they're looking for clarity in this asset class now. So we were opportunistic about coming up with the idea for this fund. For me, Avalanche is the choice that we looked at and decided we want to commit our time to based upon the protocol and the team and the architecture and what it might mean for enterprise and institutions. So yeah, I mean, the fund has been over a year in the making, testing our own validators and testing the messaging, I think, and we should talk about this. I mean, the messaging and the communication in this world between the traditional finance world and the crypto world, I think we want to be a better part and a big part of helping improve that conversation.
Yeah, that's well said. And I'm not a young guy, so I was through the 08 crisis as well. I mean, I owned a title company, a mortgage company, real estate company, very heavy in distressed assets during that time. It was actually a more active time in real estate. And more lucrative, unfortunately, for many of the end users, but from a transactional standpoint, there was a lot going on. But as you mentioned, blockchain solves a lot of that. Like most of that was just all the murkiness of financial data. Right. So with today, with blockchain, with distributed ledger and with AI, all of that is essentially solved. Like the 08 situation isn't really solved. Like you don't, there were still bad loans. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
it would have been most of that, the compounding effects that we were dealing with for many years could have been identified way in advance, clearly.
Yeah, and a number of problems underneath that kind of OE crisis, like you're saying, just transparency into data, time of which you receive data, the number of different participants who need access to, let's say, like the mortgage pool of data, but they're all reconciling it from different places. Like, we really need to get blockchain and crypto back to the concept of talking about the power of shared ledgers, and away from meme coins and away from a lot of the you know, things that have tainted the color of this industry.
Yeah. No, I think one of the first posts that I came across from you guys was probably like 6 months ago, and it was something I think Julie put out about, like, let's have a conversation about blockchain, not crypto. And, you know, and obviously they kind of are go together like peanut butter and jelly in a lot of ways when they're put together in a sound infrastructure.
Correct.
But blockchain is really where the magic is happening. And you mentioned that, and I appreciate that. I think, again, I'm a big fan of L1s and blockchains, and particularly Avalanche and the team there, obviously being, you know, born out of Cornell, obviously a New York based company and very focused. You know, I've met Morgan and many of the people on institutional team on Avalanche. I've had them on the show, and they, you know, they're doing quite a few of their inroads into finance, particularly Citi and many others, is significant. You know, mm-hmm. And obviously they're not going to be the only winner. You know, blockchains, there's several others that I've had on the show and I talk about that are doing a great job, but Avalanche is definitely one of the few that are going to make it. And, mm-hmm. You know, for the long run, I think having a fund, and again, we haven't really got into kind of the problem you're addressing, and maybe that this is a good transition, but ultimately, like, where did you see after doing your due diligence and realizing like Avalanche is doing some great things and blockchains the future, what was kind of this big idea, this intersection of how your fund came together and why infrastructure was the issue?
Yeah. So when, you know, looking for opportunity and doing the diligence across different chains and understanding protocols for us, you know, I spent time taking Gary Gensler's MIT class, actually, where, you know, it's free online on YouTube. Anyone could take it. I recommend everyone to take it to get educated on what's going on in this industry. But when you start getting a fundamental understanding of the components that make these up, right? Because you mentioned Julie bringing up, well, let's talk blockchain, not crypto. And she's done, you know, Julie McKenna, marketing head of our team, has done an incredible job with the communication of this, because what we have found is that, like, the term crypto is just so widely used. Like, of course, the concept of cryptography and the digital signatures and all the cryptographic technology underneath blockchain, those components are very important. It's the term cryptocurrency that people ran away with. And, you know, obviously currencies are regulated by governments, right? There's everything got murky. So when we look at the fundamental reason of, like, why these systems exist, and we get back to the concept of decentralized agreement, right? How do we come to agreement? And then how do we store that data, right? The consensus protocol and the blockchain and the virtual machine, right? These are all different components that, when you look at what they are and understand where the innovation is and where the innovation's been made, Avalanche becomes a very attractive option, because they've made innovations in how we come to agreement, right? They've made innovation in how we store agreement, and then they've made innovation in how, or they've innovated on how we build and separate these components, right? Like, you look at the Ethereum ecosystem and the Ethereum virtual machine are, you know, tied together. You now have some, that concept is kind of coming out to start using, you know, building virtual machines into that, trying to introduce other virtual machines into that ecosystem. But Avalanche, that architecture has always existed from the beginning, right? So when we look at the differences in the components and the ability to come to agreement, we see, like, a superior architecture for what? And this is the problem we believe we're helping solve as a fund, that Avalanche has helped solve, and that we want to invest in the infrastructure to continue to do, is how to bring institutions into this world. right? The, when we think about why blockchain or how blockchain is going to get adopted or cryptography is going to get adopted or these ecosystems, it's going to be in the building of applications that take advantage of decentralized agreement or shared ledgers, right? So when you see some of the applications that or institutions that are starting to gravitate towards Avalanche and how they could benefit from using shared ledgers, it really starts to make a lot of sense. And that's why we're here, right? Avalanche and their architecture give you the ability to do that, to create your own permissioned and privatized blockchains. They were calling them subnets. I think there's some rebranding around now, you know, calling them L1s. And that's really what it is. It's a blockchain as a service ecosystem where any institution, enterprise, video game, right, can go spin out their own private blockchain and then customize. We talked about the architectures, the different pieces of how you would put a chain together, coming to agreement, processing that data and storing that data. Avalanche has separated those pieces so you can customize your own chains, right? And privatize them, permission to users, KYC, who comes in. I mean, it all starts to look very friendly from an institutional perspective about why institutions would choose to use Avalanche, right? They can effectively start with their own private chain and then, you know, their initial network, internal network, and then start permissioning out from there. And I mean, the flexibility from building your own layer one using Avalanche is really what attracted us. But then you know, I think the average person would then say, well, what is Avalanche then? And why are they using them? What does it really boil down to? Because I ask myself this question a lot, like what is the network? It's hard for people to get their heads around it, you know, because if you have all these other layer ones, subnets using Avalanche, like what is Avalanche? And people really need to start to understand that fundamental, or at least what we're standing behind, advancement in the consensus protocol, right? All these L1s that will be launching off of Avalanche are fundamentally going to be using Avalanche's agreement mechanism for coming to agreement. And we think that's really powerful. We think Avalanche made an advancement there, the team out of Cornell. And we think it'll make a big difference when it comes to scaling blockchains. So I know that was a lot.
Yeah,
it's a very unique architecture, and that's why we're supporting the infrastructure there. So
yeah, no, it's very well said, and it's not an elementary school explanation. Like you said, it's nuanced, it's complex. There's a lot of moving parts, and I think you said it very well, as condensed as you could. So, and I totally agree. They're obviously in a rebranding standpoint. I mean, notable subnets right now are more in the gaming side. You have Shrapnel, you have Beam, you have some well-known ones, but a lot of these use cases have been proven out. Avalanche has obviously participated in Project Guardian, which involves Citi, WisdomTree, et cetera. We've seen several use cases and even some that are not public yet, of pilot programs that are happening that can't be publicized yet, where other financial institutions are involved. And as you mentioned, the ability to roll up your own permissioned public, however you want to control it, have your own L1, seems to be where the puck is going for the future of finance and the future really of blockchain in general. Whether you're a gaming project or not, as you mentioned, most of what the needs are is you want to have your own blockchain. You know, you don't want to run an L2 on your laptop, you know, and call it an L2. And, you know, I know that, you know, that gets poked fun a lot, but that the truth is, I mean, sometimes that is what's going on. It's literally like there's, it's not a true blockchain infrastructure where you're able to leverage, obviously, Avalanche's architecture, but then you're also able to have all of your controls at your disposal. Like you mentioned, if you're a financial institution, you can have all your KYC, AML, everything built in. And if you're a gaming side and you want to have your own like Beam, you have your own token, you literally have your own blockchain with your own economy,
right?
Your own token economy. And that's where, like we talked about earlier, you know, that's where crypto makes sense, or that's where a tokenized economy makes sense, because you literally have a complete ecosystem where your gaming infrastructure is incentivized and it runs completely on the Beam token. And you know, that's a genius setup. And I think that's where you see things like JP Morgan doing, like JPM coin, things like that, where it doesn't make sense for everybody. But when you actually think it through and you design the right architecture for the right use case, it's magical, you know, what the next step for the future of finance is. So I think getting into the specifics of why your fund is exists and why it's infrastructure for Avalanche, like what are the issues with onboarding people into subnets, you know, for Avalanche? I mean, yeah, I think that's obviously what you guys are solving mainly. And clearly that's, you know, the precursor, of course, probably is some expenses, I'm guessing, but yeah. Like maybe give me some background of why that's needed.
Yeah. Well, at a fundamental level, it's a proof of stake ecosystem. So you have to put up tokens, capital, in order to run the protocol and operate a node or a validator, right, on the system to validate transactions, validate data. Now, yep. You know, as you're scaling a blockchain and you figure that, oh, you may want to operate your own chain, you'll need more validators, which will cost more capital and require the, you know, the IT infrastructure and know-how or technical expertise of securing your network. So you have a capital requirement and you have a requirement for technical expertise. So there's a funnel, there's a gap into, you know, for many startups for certain to get involved or build an application on Avalanche if they wanted to build their own L1. It's cost intensive. And two, they may not want to focus on running the network and securing the network, right? I mean, we know very well how the IT industry is, right? There's not let me say it this way. There's a shortage of IT industry workers, and not all of them are, you know, excited to leave the jobs they've had a career building in or ready to retire in, you know, built a career in, and are just going to jump into blockchain. That is, it does matter to have those skills. I think maybe when these systems were developed, they thought like every company or internal team would just be, you know, going through these docs and be okay, you know, running their own validators and nodes, but really not the case. So just the capital requirement and the technical expertise is an issue we're solving for as a fund, right? With that capital, we'll deploy it to validators and run those validators. Where what I think we've done that's very unique that no one else has done is we're solving a second order problem, which is getting the traditional investment world, the TradFi world, as they like to say, into the decentralized finance world. And you can't do that through another, you know, on-chain restaking DeFi protocol or, you know, another Celsius. We can't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. We have to go meet people where they are. And the traditional finance people know how to allocate as an alternative investment, you know, through a fund structure that's a Delaware fund that's audited or now through ETFs we've seen approved. But what, you know, we've done is set up a private fund structure that allows them to allocate in a way that they're familiar with, but now allocate to the infrastructure of blockchain. So what we're, you know, trying to match and align the interests of investors with the needs of those building on the network. And those building on the network need what? They need validators, they need capital and technical expertise. We're going to provide that as a fund. And how will we offer return to our investors? Obviously the Avalanche mainnet staking reward. But what we've innovated, and I think we'll do quite differently, is now think of this as a traditional financial product infrastructure fund where you then lease out that infrastructure, right, to those who need nodes to build. And we can create another income source to the fund that way and have a trusted arrangement, right, almost as an IT blockchain operator for that company who needs someone to help run their nodes or to expand their network.
Yeah.
We think we've done an interesting thing in aligning those two objectives.
I agree. You know, for context too, as you mentioned, like the proof of stake network, the rewards on staking on the Avalanche network is not to be diminished in importance, because it's a huge, you know, there's definitely great rewards there from someone investing in the fund. And as you mentioned, there's other income streams that are coming as part of that leasing node infrastructure, et cetera. And I think that's, you know, yeah, I wasn't aware of that. That's a great
well,
add-on.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about anyone who wants to go start an application on Avalanche. They're going to have to put up 2,000 coins. You know, if they want to start a subnet or new or their own L1, 2,000 coins per validator. Per yeah. validator. That's $80,000 per validator. Yeah. Five, 10, it gets costly. So how can they get their project started or expand their networks? They could lease from us. There's also, you know, very interesting developments with the Basel III capital requirements for digital assets. The increased capital requirements against banks makes it more costly to hold these assets on their balance sheet. Well, now there's a rental option. You know, if you're going to continue to build out your bank infrastructure and applications on the Avalanche network, and you don't want to run those validators or keep those assets locked, you know, on your balance sheet, you can rent validators from a, you know, US-based Delaware fund. So I think what we've done is very unique and very supportive of expanding this network, the network infrastructure. I mean, it truly is network protocol infrastructure for decentralized applications, right? We're not launching a token. We're not creating our own protocol. We're taking the traditional path and providing, you know, capital to the new world. Let's call it the decentralized world.
Yeah, I mean, one of my first careers, I was involved in tech and consulting, and I worked with, you know, companies like Capgemini and other consulting agencies where, you know, we were working on tech projects and deliverables. And, you know, as over the years, I mean, you learn about, like, there are agencies and there are consulting companies and infrastructure companies just serving IBM, just serving, you know, all these different. This is really just the next wave of technology innovation. Is that the next rise is on all of these L1s where all this infrastructure is moving there. So it's just, this sounds like a new concept.
Yes.
Like, I know to new, you know, to, like you said, to new people, but this has been going on forever. This is no different than the companies that have multi-million dollar companies that are IBM certified partners or Microsoft certified partners or all these certified partners who I've worked with over the years that all rose through the, you know, internet activation. You know, so now we're into the blockchain activation, which means there's a whole different set of partners that are coming to the table. One being how Rise and Shine is deploying and injecting capital into this opportunity and network infrastructure. And as you mentioned, deploying on a blockchain like Avalanche could be, generally 4 to 6 validators are recommended. You know, you're looking at almost $500,000 to just support the network. You know, that's before any deal flow, anything happening. It's important that, you know, you're able to look at that, and this does solve a big need and a big problem. And also takes deal flow that's coming in through Avalanche and essentially helping it, you know, to redirect into areas where, hey, like maybe you're not quite ready to validate your own stuff, or you don't have the internal resources, like you mentioned. Here's where you can look at Rise and Shine and their infrastructure partners. But, like, I guess, unless you want to add anything, I think it's important to talk about, like, the fund and in particular, like, how, you know, how now it can be accessed through your partnership with Oasis Pro Markets, right? Like, that's the big unlock.
That's the big news. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's been a lot of time in the making for testing, for getting the story out. I mean, we went to the Avalanche Summit in Barcelona last year, and I, you know, talk about doing, like, your due diligence. I just went and bothered everyone I could speak to and told them about this idea and tried to understand what they were doing with their validators, just to get a feel for how people would react to it, just to get a feel for what people wanted and could help them. So now we're here. We're at that point. We're raising capital and very excited about this partnership with Oasis Pro. You know, their interests are very much in lockstep with ours in terms of bringing the traditional investment world to the decentralized finance world or blockchain world. Infrastructure is a key part of that. So having their support, I mean, it really means a lot to us. Having them as a placement agent to help us in the capital raise, I think is going to make for a great long-term partnership between both of us and help bring more assets on chain, right? As more companies look to tokenize real world assets, I think they'll start deciding to take the path of putting them on their on private networks first. And they'll need private network infrastructure. We think Avalanche is the best place to do that.
Yeah, and the like you mentioned, it's going to really depend on what their needs are. And it's probably going to be that combination of public-private, as you mentioned, definitely very permissioned at first, most likely is going to be the path. And then, I mean, we're seeing some funds like BlackRock and the securitized stuff be issued on Ethereum. But and that's really more just a fund there where there's instant settlement. It's obviously all the wallets are it's all white label, you know, or whitelisted type of stuff. So it's not something that anybody can DeFi or anything like that. You know, right. But it's a good start, you know, clearly. And it's been a big newsworthy part of the growth here of everything we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great news coming out and institutions starting to take their step in. You know, we've put out a few LinkedIn posts that just like for the last year, since the Avalanche Summit that I went to last year, just saying like the institutions they're coming to this space. And I think this is just the beginning. So it's an exciting time.
It is. So what's next? I mean, as we're winding down here, I think, you know, this has been an excellent conversation. And, you know, we'll definitely have you back. I know that it's early, but this was big news. And as we've been talking over the past month, with Julie, I wanted to, you know, we chatted, this was probably a good event to have you on, at least for a quick chat, and we can have you back as you're raising funds or you have additional partners that you know, maybe some new projects that you've locked in that are going to be using your infrastructure agreements, etc.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what else would you like to share?
Love to come back sometime. Definitely keep you posted as to what partnerships we have on the subnet side and interest that comes in across the fund when we get the fund closed. Yeah, for us next, it's just completing the fundraise. People can come learn more about us either through our website, our socials, or Oasis Pro. And we'll continue to have more of these conversations. So we appreciate you bringing us on for this.
Likewise. Yeah, that's been great having you, Andrew. And I'll share all the links when I share this out with my audience, but it's rns.partners. Is the main jumping off point. You can get to LinkedIn and obviously learn more about the Oasis Pro partnership and get access to the fund that way and find out more if you happen to be someone listening that's in that accredited status and is interested in taking a look at the fund. So
yeah, of course. Let me be very explicit about that. The fund is for accredited investors only. All the concepts of doing your own risk, your own diligence, you know, please be very careful in the space and do your research on what we're doing and what others are doing in the industry.
Yeah. Well, this is a unique solution and kudos for at least the next step and the big partnership and the announcement. So we'll be chatting again soon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks a lot. Great chat. Take care, Travis.
All right. You too. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Real World Assets Show. Thanks for joining us on our journey to transform the future of finance, one asset and token at a time. For more insights, visit us on the web at rwa.builders. I'm Travis John, and I'll see you on the next episode.